It's Wednesday, June 9th, 2021. I'm Tanya Harris, and welcome to TMI Daily, your daily roundup of everything people are talking about online since they aren't allowed to talk about it in person. This morning, President Biden departed on his first official foreign trip, heading to the UK for the G7 summit. It'll be nice for him to finally be someplace where pretty much everyone thinks that he's the President of the United States. Speaking of the ridiculous, a new survey claims that 3 out of 10 Republicans believe that Donald Trump will be reinstated to the presidency in August. The other 70% say October, since summer is such a good time for golf. A new conspiracy theory is claiming that Joe Biden has been replaced by a clone and that the real Biden is either in custody or has been executed. The theory has been bolstered by the fact that Trump's clone gave the speech in North Carolina on Saturday, since clones are well known for wearing their pants backwards. Biden has revoked Trump's executive order from last year that aimed to punish TikTok and the Chinese company that owns it. This should cause most TikTokers to flee the site, as we all know what happens when grandparents get involved with social media. In a congressional hearing yesterday, Texas Congressman and the man who proves that poll numbers are often higher than IQs, Louie Gohmert, asked the U.S. Forest Service's representative if they had the power to change the moon's orbit in order to positively affect climate change. To which the representative asked Gohmert, "Are you out of your fucking mind?" Sadly, only one of the two statements I just read was actually said yesterday at a congressional hearing. The Labor Department says that 4 million Americans quit their jobs in April, which is a 20-year record. Guess it took a pandemic to remind all of us that work really sucks. Alyssa Milano said she is considering a run for Congress in 2024. The former actress turned social activist probably said this after hearing a more qualified woman say that they were thinking of running, and she chimed in, "Me too." You know, out of habit. Gosh, who wrote that? Too soon. The Hollywood Amoeba Record Store slated for demolition will host an immersive Van Gogh exhibit from July until January. Good choice, since Van Gogh losing his ear and Los Angeles losing a record store really work in symbolic harmony. Fans of the Discovery show Alaskan Bush People are upset after finding out the show's stars, the Brown family, live in a $2.7 million house in Beverly Hills and not off the grid as the show portrays them. Wow, people aren't actually the way they seem on TV. What's next? The Kardashians aren't a bunch of shameless, attention-seeking women who'll do anything to stay relevant? Nah. A Simpsons arcade cabinet video game from the 1990s is being reproduced and sold for roughly $600 a unit. It's a great gift for fans of the show, but be warned that after a few years, it'll feel like it's been around too long and taking up space that could be used for newer, fresher arcade games. Now, let's send it over to tonight's TMI Daily Cast and Crew Roundtable. Stay safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of TMI Daily. I'm Veronica Aiello, and as always, I'm joined by some of my TMI Daily crew. Later on in the show, we're going to be joined by Brandon Ziegler and Dave Martin, host of the podcast FDR's Wheelchair. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Let's go around and say hello to everyone watching at home or listening to our TMI Daily podcast. Let's start with you, Pete.
Just wondering, am I the only one who, when watching the video that Tanya does, thinks she does that laugh because she wants people to think what she said was funny, or she's high? She's either high or that. I'm not really sure which, but it's got to be one or the other.
Maybe we should ask her. Joe. <Okay. laughs>
Hey, everyone listening on Google Podcasts, and a very happy National Donald Duck Day. I'm really excited about that one. Also, just to let everyone know, on Friday, you can finally get In the Heights. And on Tuesday, you can get Out of Your Mask. Healy's here in California.
Danny.
Hello, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Wednesday. Whoa, I'm a day late. It's National Fragrance Week, and I just want to shout out to The One by Dolce & Gabbana. I think we were talking about that at the barbecue. What's your favorite scent?
About cool water.
That's right.
Yeah, and my kindergarten student that loved cool water for men.
And I did admit that I put it on my crotch at one point in my life.
Yeah. So, Daddy, is that your favorite fragrance?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's very subtle. It lasts all day. Love it.
Okay. You ever put it on your crotch?
No.
Nice.
No. Okay.
You should.
Chris, how are
all
you?
All natural.
Have you put any cologne on your crotch, Chris?
No, I don't. But they do have ball deodorant, which I do use. It does keep it nice and moisturized and not too sticky. So it's great. It's better than powder because I don't want to open up and see like the wild like biscuit dough, you know, breeding down there. I don't know why people put powder. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And it's not good for you either, they say.
No, it's not good. It clogs your pores and bumps and stuff and makes it real sensitive. Like if you do shave, you'll have like the wild skin rash from whatever you use. So yeah, it's just not, don't use powder. Use the ball deodorant. It's like $20. It's worth it though.
There you go. Okay, well, let's start tonight's show. Sure, it's always good to discuss real world news and give our opinions, but it's a lot more fun to discuss stories we have absolutely no way of knowing are true. For that reason, it's time for This Week in Gossip, in which we've gone through all of the major gossip sites and pulled some of the biggest stories of the week, none of which we verified to be true. I'll tell you the story and you tell me what you know about it, or if you want to comment on it, feel free. Okay, so the first story has to do with Caitlyn Jenner. And according to gossip sites, Caitlyn Jenner is on the edge of a nervous breakdown as criticism of her failing campaign for governor of California has led to constant tear-filled outburst. Anybody have any thoughts on this? Pete?
Well, there's been different variations on this story that I saw online over the last day or so. But one constant in here, and I know he must be thrilled to hear this, is that apparently the many monologue jokes that Jimmy Kimmel has made about her in the last few weeks since she announced her candidacy for governor have really hurt. And so apparently people have been trying to keep her away from seeing what Jimmy Kimmel says the night before about her on his show. But yeah, I mean, it's all the stuff that she, like the thing about how friends of hers are afraid to even walk up to their private, to the airport where their private planes are because of all the homeless people, you know, or when she came out against trans girls getting into athletics. I wouldn't know why she would have she wouldn't have a problem with trans women. But I guess for some reason she does. You know, and it's like just it's a joke candidacy. I mean, everybody should just come out and admit it. I mean, the reason why we're not allowed to admit it is because she no longer has genitals, so we're now not allowed to say anything bad about her. But it's the truth. And so now she's realizing what happens when you do something for as a joke or to get even with Kim for not letting you on her show anymore. This is what you're gonna get. Good for her.
So
it sounds like that because like I think you know what it is though what it seems like I feel like this is that moment when you can tell that she has begun to believe in her own hype, like all the bullshit that motherfuckers have been gassing her up since the past few years since she transitioned, like she started really diving into and believing that all that shit was right. And then she thought when she announced that she was going to run this campaign and she's realizing that like people are people, she can't handle that because she's been around a bunch of yes people all her for the last few years. And now motherfuckers are telling her no. And she just can't handle that. And that's why she's breaking down, because she thinks she's on that same level of like Kim Kardashian or any of the other Kardashians. Like, you're not a Kardashian. I think she's just like finally realizing like you ain't a Kardashian. You could try, but you ain't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair to say. I agree with you on that as well. Okay, so according to gossip sites, there's some trouble in paradise between Ellen and her wife, Portia de Rossi. And according to the sites, what we were reading today is that they're trying to ease their tensions in their marriage by taking an extended vacation together to a Rwanda gorilla sanctuary for her 60th birthday. So is that the best way to fix a marriage that might be on the rocks?
No. No, you know what, though? I'm going to say this. I might get in trouble But I don't know why people are still marrying white women. None of these bitches are loyal. Like, as soon as their husbands or spouses get into any kind of trouble, they can't wait to fucking leave. They can't wait to leave. As soon as, like, a little bit embarrassment happened, they are fucking ready to roll. And I think Portia's doing the same thing because Ellen just lost her show because of all that controversy. And now she's trying to find her way out and get some bread on top of it. You bitches ain't loyal for shit.
That's why I didn't marry one of those white bitches.
I feel you, bro. I feel you, bro. Now I understand. You know what I mean? I totally get it.
Just go with a Latina.
Jump ship.
Listen, and you know what? No, real talk, go with a Latina. Kobe's wife is a Latina, right? He got accused of rape. She stuck by that motherfucker. He got her new ring. She stuck by all the way to the point where he got acquitted of the charges, and she still stayed with him after that. Because his thing, no matter what, even though he didn't rape the girl, he still cheated on her, and that was public, and she still stuck by him. If she had been white, she'd have been gone.
And you know what? Because us Latinas, we fight for our marriage.
I know.
Yes, that's it. We fight for our marriage.
So who came with you to the barbecue, Chris?
Listen, I didn't say I was going to marry her.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Got weird. This has got weird.
And to be fair, most Latinas don't want to like leave a marriage because their mom will get really mad at them, so they'll just stab a guy to death first, and then say, "Oops," you know, in religion, you know, if the husband dies, well, that's okay. You're a widow; you can get married again.
No, they become stage five clingers.
In Chris's defense. I feel you. I know what you're talking about. So I'm like, you know what?
I know what I'm saying.
But with a Latina. Pete.
This is another one of those stories that there's like a lot of variations on it. But the one thing you can gain from all this stuff is that if you piss off the media, they will come after you and do everything they can to just come up with ways to make your life sound like it's awful. Because there was this version of the story that Ellen is trying really hard to keep her marriage together by taking Portia to a gorilla sanctuary in Rwanda, which only makes sense because they actually went to the gorilla sanctuary in Rwanda before. But then there's another version of the story that Portia wants, because of all the bad press that Ellen had, Portia wants to take her to Australia to live after the show wraps next year, because people in Australia will be nicer to her and they won't have to deal with the nonsense in the United States. She's also thinking about leaving her because Ellen is already trying to find out what her next project is going to be. And she thinks that Ellen shouldn't be jumping into anything quickly, which is funny because it's exactly the same story that's being reported about George and Amal Clooney, that their marriage might be breaking up because George Clooney has way too many hands into different projects right now because he's been bored during the pandemic. It's like these stories just kind of rotate around and like they'll go to this person and then that person. But yeah, somehow or another, there's some variation of Ellen's marriage is not going well.
I mean,
whether or not it's true, I have no idea.
To be fair, every place that they mention is a dangerous place that an animal can eat you. So maybe that there's a little bit deeper to this than we're saying.
Hey.
Well, she just wandered off into the woods. I didn't see. Yeah. I don't know where she went. She just wandered off in the woods and that was it. If this don't work, we're going to Australia. Whoa, look out for that spider.
Yeah, that sucker's huge.
Yeah.
My only thing about this, the only thing I want to say about this story is if your marriage is like doing so poorly or, you know, it's on the rocks and you have to go all the way to Rwanda to a gorilla sanctuary, like that's like, oh, you know what? Maybe this will fix it. You are probably in bigger trouble.
Yeah, do what most couples do. Just have a kid for no reason to try and
fix it.
No, do not do that.
Don't go to Rwanda to go look at gorillas. I mean, I think it would be nice to go do that, but don't do it because your marriage is
because
in
of that reason.
I mean, what is going to happen in Rwanda that's going to change your marriage? You know, like it's going to be like, oh wow, I didn't realize how much I loved you till I got here.
Veronica, yes. Just so we know, what's the place that Pete has to take you when things start going really sour? So we know ahead of time.
Probably In-N-Out. She really likes that.
I love In-N-Out, and I haven't had a burger in like
8 months.
I hate to say it, my wife's easy like that.
I am. Just take it In-N-Out, and I'll be happy. Seriously. I just want a burger. I want an In-N-Out fries. That's it. I'm good with that.
See, I can never do too much wrong.
You know what? You can save the case for Latinas again, Brian.
Chris, do you see how easy we are? We're
told. That's what I said. You just made the case for it. You know what I'm saying? White bitches, you got to take them motherfucking Africa on a goddamn safari for them.
You got to take them to Rwanda.
I can just take you to In and Out and then we good. Fuck out of it.
Well, I see. Now, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I thought Rwanda was dangerous. I thought there was
Rwanda.
Gorillas are dangerous. They're fucking 800-pound behemoths. They could rip your face off like a fucking paper towel. So the fact that she's taking her wife to that and thinking that's okay.
He was talking about different gorillas, but that was years ago. The government has stabilized.
Stop it, sir.
Okay, I did not know that. I wasn't sure because where did the Black Hawk Down took place in Mogadishu?
Somalia.
Somalia. Okay. Yeah. Two places I don't want to go is Somalia or Mogadishu. So, you know, I'm sure that they're lovely places when they're not ethnically cleansing.
Well, don't worry about it, Pete. If our marriage is ever in trouble, I'm not going to make you take me to either of those places.
Yeah, thank
you.
Take
you down the street to In-N-Out and I'm good.
We're going right to In-N-Out, baby.
That's right. Yeah.
I'll get you anything you want.
Plain hamburger or plain fries. That's it.
She doesn't even like the animal style. I don't have to pay extra for anything.
No one should. That's disgusting.
Yeah,
animal style's good. Shut up.
So the next story has to do with Demi Moore, and I actually believe this story, and you're gonna see why. So Demi Moore is finding it impossible to find an assistant at her Idaho ranch because no one wants to work with her because of the immense amount of doo-doo her 9 dogs make on the property that the assistant would have to deal with. So we have 3 dogs, and there's a lot of shit.
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine 9 dogs. So I think this story's true. That's my opinion.
What? But why 9? Why so many dogs?
Who hurt her?
I mean, they're small dogs. I mean, we
have
small
dogs.
Those are the worst.
Like
if we had the room for it, we would have 9 dogs too.
9 dogs. I'm thinking she doesn't need an assistant. She needs a therapist.
For real. Somebody lied to her. Every time like they fuck up, they're like, oh, here's a puppy.
Chris, white women.
I'm saying that must be ponies and fucking excursions. That's what they need to be pleased.
We're talking about Idaho? Did you say Idaho?
Yeah, she has a ranch in Idaho.
So we're talking about people that are used to like horse shit. And like really big animal shit, and they don't want to deal with her little animal shit.
Maybe she's not offering them enough.
Maybe nobody in Idaho has 9 horses.
Yeah, that's what the problem is.
Danny said maybe she's not offering them enough. That's a really good point.
How much would be enough?
Well, they say according to the story, and again, this must have been somebody who she really pissed off that said this, that her property is just strewn with dog shit everywhere. That it like just it's just everywhere all over the property, and she's got several acres apparently there. Because I mean, like Idaho, if you're gonna live in Idaho and you have money, you probably own a good percentage of the state.
That can't be the case. I mean, it has to be that like they're pooping in certain specific areas, the 9 of them, or they're possibly pooping inside the house. Because if she has multiple acres, I mean, you can miss a couple poops. Like, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, it's a ton of space. It's not like, you know, like 4 or 5 months later, you can step in. It'll be dried up already. So there's something more to it than that. I'm pretty sure they're either pooping or peeing in specific areas where it's really piling up. And dogs do have a way of really wanting to go and play when they find a place they like, you know, that's where they'll go. Or the worst case is that they're pooping inside the house. Which I've heard of too, with some people with their dogs, and they let them go everywhere, and then the assistant has to clean them up. That's gross. That's
terrible.
See,
don't let those little dogs fool you too. Like, don't think because they're little dogs, they don't shit that much. We've got our little dogs, and they shit a lot.
Yeah,
that's the thing. See, you know, what she's doing wrong is she's telling these prospective assistants that's one of their job duties. Pardon the phrase. Because you know she's got to do like most other like celebrities or or pseudo celebrities do and just lie and say, oh no, you're going to be doing, you're going to be, you know, reading scripts for me. You're going to be handling all my personal business. You'll be dealing with a lot of, you know, studio people. And then as soon as they take the job, then you send them out to clean the dog shit up, because that's what a real celebrity would do. Clearly she's not handling this properly.
I think she needs to get a specific dog handler, not an assistant, because nine dogs and you gotta follow their poop and stuff like that. That's a full time job.
Yeah,
there's no way that she could be an assistant or whoever to be the assistant and clean up nine dogs' poop, because that's a lot of poop.
She needs a nanny, a dog nanny.
Right, dog nanny
You just got to get ahead of the poop. That's the whole thing. You got to get ahead of it. You got to, as soon as you see him go, you got to get it. Get it right away.
The first thing that person should do is play the long game and feed the dog stuff that's going to, you know, stop him up, like government cheese and things like that. And they won't poop for like a few days.
You know what it is?
That's how you get ahead of it.
It's the first rain that always destroys you, because like you could be really on your game for like a week, just out there, like right away, scooping up everything. And then it rains. And then you're like, for the next few days, I'm not touching that because it's gooey and disgusting.
Right.
And then by the end of the week, there's like 8 pounds of crap outside.
Right. And also,
all
that stuff that you did miss and it dried up has now rehydrated.
Yeah.
That's off somewhere too. And what's even worse would be the winter, because those are little dogs. They're not going to want to run out in the snow long. They're going to want to go out, do their thing, and come back. There's nine of them. And so they're all going to be pooping like right by the door. All winter.
Yeah.
So you need somebody. Listen, Demi, here's my advice to you. Hire someone specifically just for the dogs.
Yeah.
The dogs will appreciate it and you will appreciate it.
That's very good advice.
Wait, also too, like, instead of having your assistant do that, aren't there like dog care apps that you can get on and have people come and do like certain duties for your dog, like walking them and shit like that?
Right.
And WAG, one of those fucking apps that do that. So I don't know why she's not doing that. You could have a regular.
But I think if you've got a full time dog person who will walk the dogs, feed the dogs,
that's also true.
Take care of the dogs,
but you got to pay them more because
they're probably some of them need grooming. They're small dogs, you know, they'll take care of all of that.
Yeah.
And if all these different acres and stuff like that, put them a house, give them a house or someplace to live on the property. Let them be full time. You know, it's Demi Moore. She's got a little bit of money.
Yeah.
You know, I realized something interesting just now. Joe, anytime you speak directly to a celebrity, whether it's to give them advice or to like tell them that they're looking for a man, I for some reason always go to a close up of you, because I'm of the mind that one of these days one of these people is going to actually see the video, so I want to make sure that they're getting the full gravity.
I know they should. They should, because when I talk to you, I'm talking to you direct, and I've got some really great eyes. So you know, look into these beautiful blue eyes and listen to what I say, because I'm only speaking truth.
Good.
All right. Chris, quit bringing white women to parties.
How dare you?
So supposedly, an ongoing feud between Jennifer Aniston and Paul Rudd kept Rudd from making an appearance on the Friends reunion special. Now, when we were talking about this story earlier with Pete, it was so funny. Him and I both said, this can't be true. Who doesn't like Paul Rudd? Because we have this like image of him just being like perfect, or like, you know, you don't never hear anything bad about him, but he said it, I said it. So I don't know. What do you guys think about this?
I don't think that it can't be real, because I know people that I have friends that have met Jennifer Aniston and used to like, I have a friend that used to work at that Yamashiro restaurant, the one that's like up there. Here on the hill in Hollywood.
That's what we got now.
Fancy ass sushi restaurant. Yeah. So apparently Jennifer Aniston used to come in there all the time. She was like super nice, knew everybody on the staff by first name, and like knew things about them, like would come in and ask them about their family, their friends, and stuff that they were going through. Actually gave some girl money to like get her car fixed so she could make it to work. So if she's that nice of a person, how could she feud with somebody like Paul Rudd, who is also known to be that good of a person? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Unless they're both just like, two sociopaths that know how to like put on a happy face when they're out in the crowd. I just don't see this being possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Pete.
Yeah, no, nobody fights with Paul Rudd.
No.
I mean, he can't even fight with somebody in a movie. Like, he was one of his early films was one of the Halloween movies. like Halloween 5 or 6. I don't think he even fought with Michael Myers in that movie. Like, he was just like, Michael Myers was like, look, I'm going to have to kill you. And he's like, okay, if you have to do it, it's okay. I get it. Like, that was basically the way it went down. But I think this story has been debunked because they're actually supposedly very good friends. In fact, like about 6 months ago on his birthday, she wrote on Instagram, she had a picture of him on Instagram, told him that she loved him and that he hasn't aged in all the years that they've known each other. So I don't think it's true, but I think it has more to do with people trying to figure out why certain people were not part of the Friends reunion, but there's like a whole list of them. So when the when Cole and Dylan Sprouse end up in a blood feud with Jennifer Aniston, we'll know why, because because they weren't on it either.
Well, he was probably shooting. I mean, he's probably filming the next Ant-Man movie or the next Marvel movie or some shit like that. Like, or probably another rom-com. That's what he does in between, like, fucking Marvel movies. So I don't think that he didn't want to show up or there was some kind of feud. He probably just literally didn't have time.
Yeah.
Joe?
I mean, the answer to this is easy. If you watch the Friends reunion, the Friends reunion had to have been sponsored by a Botox company. And the last thing that they want is Paul Rudd to show up with his natural unaged self and ruin that whole stigma. That's the reason why he wasn't invited. He would have came on, and all of a sudden the rest of the French cast is like, what the fuck happened to all their faces? What's going on?
You probably ask him not to come on, because that would make him really bad.
I'm saying, it'll make the Botox much more noticeable.
They've been in a few movies together, too.
Yeah. So we don't
Wanderlust, The Object of My Affection. I don't think there's a feud there at all.
Oh,
yeah. You don't believe that because nobody has a feud with Paul Rudd, I tell you. Okay, this next story, I don't know if it's true or not, but it really made me laugh and I think it's funny. So it's the story goes that Keith Urban has a do not pick him list of actors he requests his wife, Nicole Kidman, not work with, including men she worked with or dated from her past. And that includes Colin Firth, Alexander Skarsgård, and Lenny Kravitz.
See, I didn't even know that she dated Lenny Kravitz, but right there.
Oh yeah, she dated him for a while.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't have ended up marrying her because Lenny Kravitz just looks like he gets it in. I'm not competing with Lenny Kravitz. I'm sorry. Something about Lenny Kravitz.
Like, I feel you. I feel you though, because I seen that Men's Health magazine. He was just being like a mother.
Yeah, he's got, you know what? He's sexy. He's got sexy for women.
He's like too much sexy. That's like, he's like Prince level sexy. You can't compete with that.
There's no way some Australian guy who does country music is turning her out the way that.
I mean, good Lord, was that before or after Tom Cruise? Because I think like Lenny Kravitz, just his manhood is the size of Tom Cruise.
That was quite
Tom Cruise never actually had sex with Nicole Kidman.
Like Tom Cruise is the size of like Lenny Kravitz's dong. So
the closest thing to having sex with her is when he fucked her into making that movie Eyes Wide Shut.
It wasn't that bad.
It was awful. Right?
It was awful.
It was awful. It wasn't bad. It was awful.
Yeah. So I don't believe this story, even though I think it's funny.
I don't know, man. Because here's the thing: you got to remember, Veronica. Like, people in Hollywood have mad egos. And if you're a person that has a wild ego and your wife is working with all these like attractive, talented men, you could easily. I mean, look at what Tom Cruise is doing when he was with Katie Holmes. He didn't want her to be Wonder Woman because he didn't want her showing off her body like that in a costume on a big screen.
Tom Cruise didn't want Katie Holmes to be showing off her body because she.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's real talk. Here's what you do. Listen to the latest Keith Urban album and listen to the lyrics. Mm-hmm. The answers are in the lyrics.
Wait, what does it say, Danny?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I thought
that's
you
were going to hear the song. Well,
Keith Urban is pretty hot himself. So, I mean, okay, well, let me move on.
But, okay.
He's
good looking, but like, he ain't no Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. So let me move on to the final story before our guests come on, because they're waiting to come on. So our last gossip story tonight says that paramedics and cops were called to JoJo Siwa's home after a man overdosed at her Pride Month party earlier this month. Now, remind me, who is JoJo Siwa again? Pete?
She's like that weird, you're not sure if she's a kid or she's a girl, like YouTube star that like has a zillion fans, and first she was bisexual, then she was queer, then she was gay. Like she's like been through all these different things, and then she just turned 18, which makes it all great. But to me, you want to talk about pride? Like this is a pride party. You cannot have any pride if you OD at a JoJo Siwa party. Like there's no way anybody could be proud of themselves for doing that. I mean, come on. See the guys in the hospital. Where were I was at a party in the hills and I OD. Oh, really? Who? Like Axl Rose? No, JoJo Siwa.
I agree with you 100%.
No one's admitting they were at the JoJo Siwa.
No one admitted
they were there. If I'm overdosing, it's going to be with Lenny Kravitz.
You know what it is? You know what it was? Is this person probably OD'd at another bigger celebrity's party, but they just said she was at this.
That's exactly what happened. Katy Perry paid a guy $20 to drop that OD guy off and JoJo Siwa's lawn.
That's really what happened. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. 100%. See, we got to the bottom of it.
Ray Donovan.
Okay, well, let's bring on our guests. I think they're ready to come on. Yeah, although we tend to drift off into a variety of different topics, TMI Daily is probably best thought of as a current events podcast that takes a humorous look at the news of the day. That's why when we find other shows that have been able to find the funny in today's chaotic world, we love getting the chance to ask them how they do it. That definitely describes our guests tonight, Brandon Ziegler and Dave Martin, the host of the podcast FDR's Wheelchair, in which they give their own hilarious take on today's current events. Please welcome Brandon and Dave to TMI Daily. Hi, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, we're great. How are you?
Hello. Excellent. Thanks for having us on. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming. I have a few questions for you, and then I'm going to go ahead and open it up to our panel. So I usually like to start asking questions about your podcast, but I want to start with the name of your podcast. I think I told you, Brandon, I love the name. How did you come up with FDR's Wheelchair?
A lot of moonshine.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. I was sitting downstairs one day, and I knew I wanted to do a podcast, and I knew I wanted to do about politics, but I wanted it to be a comedy podcast, so I didn't want it to be like The Daily Show with Brandon and Dave or something mundane like that. I wanted to really pop as soon as you read the name. It's kind of like, what? You know, because I wanted it to be different and kind of set aside. So I was like, okay, well, you know, we're going to be a kind of liberal podcast. Who's a liberal person? And I'm like, I was running through them. I was like, Clinton, but that kind of comes with a lot of baggage in its own. And I was like, well, FDR, you know, he goes back into history a long way. I think everyone recognizes FDR's name. And then I was like, what stands out about FDR? And I was like, oh, his policy, blah, blah, blah. That's, again, kind of mundane and boring. I was like, well, he's in a wheelchair. I was like, FDR's wheelchair. I think I got it. And that's when I texted Dave. I was like, hey, Dave, do you want to do a podcast called FDR's Wheelchair?
He's the father of modern progressivism, and his wife, Eleanor, is the queen of modern progressivism. Even on one of our episodes, we discussed how she could very well be much more influential than he was. So, yeah, we just admire both of them, and it was just a natural fit.
Oh, that's great. Like I said, I love the name, and it's very catchy. So,
thank you.
So, do you mind telling us a little bit more about your podcast now? What are some of the topics that you discussed, and what are some of the things you haven't discussed that you kind of maybe had second thoughts about?
I don't think we have second thoughts about anything. I think
so you go for it.
We just go for it. Actually, speaking about that, we actually talked about the death penalty one week, and it was about a week before Christmas. And I texted Dave again. I said, hey, do you want to talk about the death penalty? Like, kind of touchy subject before the holidays. And he went, hell yeah. So we like to tackle tough subjects like that.
Yeah. And we live in a time, especially we started this podcast last September, middle of a pandemic, middle of political turmoil, and really, you know, bad things were happening. You turn on the TV, you see child separations, you see a president with nothing but nefarious intentions, you see a lot of really horrible things, and one way to process that is through humor. So we try to tackle important issues, talk about them in a very intelligent way, but also tell a lot of funny, inappropriate jokes and make people laugh.
Yeah.
So just kind of natural and organic.
Mm-hmm. We definitely like to talk about political subjects, be them current or be them historical subjects, but we definitely want to entertain as we're explaining them. So we want to keep people kind of listening because it can be a little droll sometimes talking about politics, but we try to keep it peppy and upbeat and funny.
Yeah. You guys are very similar to kind of like what we do here. So that's great. I totally understand what you're saying. You want to stick to, you know, not just being so serious about everything.
Right.
Absolutely. You know? People need a release. People need a release. We need a release. And we just kind of want to help provide that context, provide that conversation, and just make people's lives a little bit better, but also make them laugh a hell of a lot and be more informed.
So we did listen to some of your episodes, and like you just mentioned a couple minutes ago, that you are very liberal, as we are on this panel as well. I want to ask you, though, about these last 4 years. Do you guys think that it made you more progressive?
No, I think we were always commie hippies at heart.
It just made me dig my heels in. I thought we were on this as a society on a much upward progression. We just talked about, gay marriage in the Supreme Court a few years ago. And, you know, the history of our country, there's a lot of up progress and a little bit of dips and a lot of ups and a little bit of dips. And we're in a dip right now. And we're trying to climb out of it. So it didn't make me more progressive, but it made me very much more aware that you always have to fight for what's right. And you have to fight for justice. And you have to keep trudging on. Because if you don't, what we've seen over the past 4 years can happen again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So when Trump lost in November, as much as we all hate the man, we have to...
Are you sure that he lost?
Well, yes, I believe.
Not what I heard.
on my calendar, it's August.
So he was a gift for political comedians. I mean, you know, we parried him a lot, you know, on the show when we were doing, you know, the theater show. Did you get concerned about that? How much did you cover him? And did you feel like it was a loss to a lot of political comedians when he did lose that?
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I felt like a weight had been taken off my shoulders that we could actually talk about other things. Yeah, it was like the joke. I felt like it was, if you're like trying to get fruit at the store, it was like, I'm just picking apples because the joke's right there. But now you actually have to look for the joke. You get to expand on our sketches and whatnot. So I felt it was very liberating that we don't have to talk about him anymore.
Yeah.
Or as much, at least, anyway.
Right.
How you felt?
Absolutely, it's a great weight off of my shoulder. I mean, every day he's on TV, you hear the voice. You can't avoid the president of the United States. You just can't, and you have to deal with who's in charge. And it was very taxing and very stressful. And it feels a hell of a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like you're cornered in the box that you have to deal with what he said this week. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't want to talk about him anymore.
Right?
Yeah.
No, we didn't.
Definitely exhausting. It's very exhausting. So we're 5 months into Biden's presidency. How do you think it's going?
I think it's going kind of as we expected, but I think Biden's doing a very good job at not getting frustrated. He's kind of keeping, as Joe always is, just that kind of mellow. And I think it's frustrating Republicans a lot because they're trying to portray him as this bad guy like they did with Obama. And it's just not sticking with them. So, I mean, he has a lot of work to do with the Senate and people like Joe Manchin, like that, and getting the agenda that he wants passed. But I think he's doing a fairly decent job at just keeping it, you know, plain old Joe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you want to add anything, Dave?
Or? Yeah, I mean, he's a very astute, honestly, moderate politician. I'm very impressed with him pushing a progressive agenda. He's obviously coming into a lot of, with the filibuster and Senate majority leadership and Joe Manchin, there's a lot of roadblocks to that agenda. But at least he is, I believe, laser focused on trying to push his agenda as much as possible. If Republicans don't want to work with him on infrastructure, which he's tried, he says, no, we'll try to go it alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more than that. Okay, so let's open it up to the panel. And does anybody have any questions? Pete, let's start with you.
Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you
for having us.
Now, I mean, again, we sometimes realize that, like, a lot of the conversations we have, or at least we used to have more of, were very much bashing Trump, bashing Republicans. And at some point, it you know, you kind of have to take into consideration that there's not all perfect people on the left either. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, I actually wanted to ask a completely different question. I don't know why I started off by saying that, but thank you for allowing me to just ramble.
Hey, anytime. That's just as focused as our podcast is.
I'm all over the place. What I wanted to ask is that, again, not trying to bash Republicans more than I sometimes do, why is it that it seems like Republicans don't have a sense of humor? Because, I mean, when I look at like, Republican humor, like, the best example of what they consider humor is Greg Gutfeld from Fox News. And he's about as funny as a rash. And it's – but, I mean, they treat him on that channel like he's the next incarnation of Johnny Carson, as far as, like, you know, like, putting him out there in the afternoons, putting him back out there again late night now. Why is it that it seems like Republicans just don't have any form of sense of humor? I mean, like, not even to be funny about things that, like, that we might not find funny. I don't get it. Why do you think it is?
Tag me in.
All right.
I think with the Republican Party right now, the reason they're lacking the humor is that they're reliant on anger and getting enraged, and that doesn't lead to humor. It doesn't allow you to self-deprecate. It doesn't allow that room to be like, that was kind of silly, wasn't it? No, it's all about just their way, look at these socialists, and kind of hammering their point. And that to me, it doesn't lead itself to be funny.
I disagree with you, Brandon. I think that Ted Cruz's renditions of Monty Python and the Princess Bride were quite humorous. Yeah, so you hit it spot on.
It's just really interesting because, like, there seems like this black hole vortex of humor that disappears mm-hmm. when you come out as a Republican. Like, I remember, I used to think Dennis Miller was one of the funniest stand-up comedians, mm-hmm. you know, ever. And then all of a sudden he became a staunch conservative, and all of a sudden he wasn't funny anymore.
I agree. Like,
you know, and it's just, what happens? I mean, is it just a tenet of being a Republican that humor is not part of the job?
I think to what Brandon said, that pretty much, I mean, sums up the major reason why. And we do this. We know podcasts are a saturated market. I mean, there's a million people out there. We're just out here having fun. But we try to find podcasts that are like ours. And we also have tried to find podcasts and other types of media that are conservative, but like ours. And we can't find them. They're not there. No, they're not funny. Yeah, it's weird. It's a black hole of funny.
Yeah, and I also think a lot of the Republican agenda is just being mean to people and against minorities or against other groups that don't agree with them. It's bullying in a way, and bullying's not funny.
Yeah, ever.
There's also a great Reddit subreddit called The Right Can't Meme, and it has all their
memes on it. Yeah, I love that one.
I have to check that one out. I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, it's just these really bad memes by right-wing cartoonists.
Chris.
Well, I was going to just to kind of piggyback on what you guys are saying. Like, you can't really find funny in a lot of their views because a lot of the things that they are, like, that they believe in are so oppressive.
Yes.
Like, it's so constricting. So, like, how could you find funny in there? It's like, you know, people trying to find funny in, like, a Catholic school. You're not going to find any kind of funny. When you leave the Catholic school, you'll find the funny.
It's really hilarious.
There. Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's weird. But my question I have for you guys is kind of more of a, I guess, a serious thing. Do you think that Biden's first 4 years is going to be kind of similar to Obama's first 4 years? Because, you know, when Obama got in, he had to fix a lot of things that Bush kind of wrecks, and people were like, oh, he's not doing it fast enough, or he's not getting any done, which, of course, wasn't entirely his fault because he had a lot against him between Congress and the Senate and shit like that. So do you think that Biden's going to kind of have the same kind of first 4 years if he gets another four after this?
I don't think it's going to be quite like Obama's. I think Obama's first 4 years were very unique because I think it really enraged the right. I think Biden has learned the lessons that Obama had to go through, where the Republicans are not going to work with them. So that frustration is not going to be there. And I also think Obama, when he came to office, he was put up here. That's where people saw him, whereas they don't have those high of expectations for Biden. It's not like that blown out of proportion for him. So I think he'll have an easier time if he doesn't quite get his agenda through, where if Obama kind of went through, if he didn't do everything perfectly, it was this massive scandal. I mean, the man wore a tan suit and it was all over Fox News. You know, I think he'll have an easier kind of way in that aspect.
And we're also kind of entering a strange era with the recovery from the coronavirus and the inflation that we see going on right now with prices skyrocketing. So kind of going back to the Bush, you know, Clinton transition, it's the economy. And what is the economy going to look like in 3.5 years? And how is that going to play into the dynamic? It's going to take 8 years to get real change through. I mean, we're just seeing right now that, you know, making laws is like making sausages, and it's slow and terrible to watch. And things just take time. It's hard to fulfill an agenda in 4 years, but we sure need it more than we ever have in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
First of all, Chris, how dare you? I went to Catholic school, and let me tell you, there was plenty of funny in Catholic school. We put the coach's Volkswagen in the field house and then dressed it up to look like the coach. Come on. Anyways, guys, I'm so glad you guys are on the show. I saw Brandon's mug, so go Dodgers.
Go Blue.
here's my thing about the Republicans, which I can't wrap my brain around, and I want to see if you guys can help me with this.
Okay.
It's like when something goes wrong or something goes weird or crazy, instead of saying, hey, yeah, maybe that wasn't a good idea, they double down on the crazy. Like, they have to hold the position, and it gets to the point where it's just some of it's ludicrous, like Jewish space lasers or a Texas Republican saying, hey, can we change the orbit of the moon so that we can have like shit like that. And it's to the point where, like, the American people, I want to believe, are smarter than that and not buying it. But it just seems that, like, the cult of the right wants to just, they said it, so I'm going to follow it. And, like, when does it collapse? Can you help me with this? Because I'm confused.
They are speaking to a dying demographic, honestly. A shrinking part of the population. As our country becomes more diverse in its entire power structure, they're desperate to hang on to their last throes of a white male-dominated society. I'll say it right there. And they're desperate. This is what you see right now. It's desperation. And it's do or die for them. They're either going to have to change around their platform. They're going to have to open up their umbrella a lot to be much more inclusive. Or they're going to die. I mean, we're watching a slow death. And it's painful as hell. And they still have a lot of power. And there's a lot of rage out there. It's still very scary. But it's changing. Change is slow in this country. But it does happen. So we're seeing desperation, I believe. It's just messy. Yeah.
I also think that the Republican message right now, it deals in absolutes. So if your idea doesn't go through, then they have to double down or they're wrong. And it's very hard for a political party like them to accept. So if your absolute is wrong, where does your authority come from? And I think it forces them into this corner where it's either, well, let's double down on it or go home.
So is it desperation that's causing Caitlyn Jenner to run for governor of California?
I'm still trying to wrap my head around that whole thing. I do not have an answer.
I don't know.
We're smart, but Jesus, we don't know everything.
You have another question? Go ahead.
No, it's interesting because we're always, it seems like from the Republican standpoint, it's always somebody else's fault that things are not better in this country. It's the brown people coming across the border illegally. They're taking your jobs, which is just bullshit, because obviously, you know, people that are coming into the country through the Rio Grande are not getting somebody's job that anybody would really want in the first place. But what I'm always curious to understand is, why doesn't somebody come forward, you know, some person, whether they be an independent or a Democrat, and go into some of these districts in places like Alabama or Arkansas, you know, poor areas, and say to the people, you keep voting for the same people and you're still as poor and still as uneducated as you were the last time you voted. Why wouldn't you want to do something different? Even if that different, I mean, that's what got Trump to win, you know, because he kept telling people, why the hell not? Why the hell not vote for me?
And
I understand why liberals don't do that too.
Right. It's odd. It's people voting against their self-interest, and it happens all the time. I really wish I had an answer for you. It's a strange anomaly that you see people always voting against what's going to really, really help them. But again, the Republicans do a lot of fear mongering, saying, you know, you better vote for this or support this, or quote, those people are going to come and take everything away from you.
Yeah. I think the Republican Party does a great job at making a boogeyman all the time, that something's coming to get you, and they're the only people that can stop it. And that's kind of hard to, even when it is against your own interest, but like, it's more of a protection thing. If you don't truly understand, they're like, well, they're saying something bad's coming. Let's vote for them because they'll save us. And I think a lot of that comes into play with it.
Yeah.
Any final questions? Anybody on the panel? Well, Brandon, Dave, thank you so much for joining us. FDR's Wheelchair can be heard anywhere. Podcasts are heard, correct?
Yep.
So how often do you release your episodes?
Once a week.
Mm-hmm. Once a week. Okay, and we're going to have your information on our Instagram as well.
Awesome, fantastic.
You know, we thank you so much. This was a fun opportunity.
Yeah. Please come back anytime. If you ever want to come back and be guest panelist, let us know. And we'd love to have you back, for sure.
That would be great.
Come back on our game show. Come back on our game nights. You'll have fun on our trivia nights. It'd be awesome.
That would be a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank everybody on the panel. We enjoyed all of your questions, and it was a fun conversation for sure.
Thank you. Do you guys want to stick around for our final segment, or do you have to get off? We do our advice segment every week.
Sure, I'd love to stick around.
We have nothing else to do.
Okay, I'm going to have you guys
with us. This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
This is our final segment tonight. So every week, the panel on TMI Daily shares its opinion on a wide range of topics, from politics to celebrities to pop culture, but very rarely do we try helping people with their everyday lives. For that reason, tonight we've gathered some actual questions from online advice columns so that we can give the kind of expert advice you'd expect from out-of-work actors and writers who do a podcast in a segment we call Dear TMI Daily. So here we go. First question.
Joy, just preface this by saying these are actual real questions that were sent into legitimate advice columns, and were answered by those advice columns. But I'll tell you, their answers were very boring. Ours will be more enlightening, and there definitely be more help. So that's the premise.
Okay. So, Chris, before you ask, hold up. Is this for real? Yes, these are all real questions.
They're all real.
I feel you. I'm with you. Let's go.
Okay, so our first question tonight comes from Hip Hopped and Questioning. And he writes, Dear TMI Daily, I feel that I am compromising my art for the consumer. I'm a hip hop artist and I make what I would describe as conscious rap. I know that conscious rap is hit or miss in 2021, but I'm losing my patience a little. I keep watching rappers with no lyrical depth make hits and get famous for their music when it all sounds lazy to me. My music has heart and soul, and I get little to no support for it. I've dabbled in making music that aligns more with that, quote, mumble rap that I hear on the radio today, but it makes me feel sad and unfulfilled. My art is my passion, and I don't want to change it, but I don't want to keep getting ignored. What should I do? Any advice for this person?
Chris, you're black.
Correct. been there for a while.
He might want to hear from you.
Listen, first
wait,
of all,
Chris is black.
Yeah,
I might be a hip hop artist. You don't know that.
Yeah, exactly. Right? He could be down with the hip hops. Here's my advice: stop being a bitch.
Right?
Pretty much, just stop being a bitch. Like, who cares if motherfuckers don't feel your music? Just keep making your music that satisfies you. Eventually, somebody will feel you. It's the same way when I fucking, it's like me, if like I do comedy and shit like that, I'm doing stand-up, and not everybody's going to like my material. So some people are going to be in the audience that don't like my shit, and some people there are going to love everything that comes out of my mouth. So just keep doing what you're doing. If it makes you happy, if it makes you feel good, and if it feels true, then keep doing it. Nobody can tell you to change anything, you know what I'm saying? And also, stop acting like you've been asked by a bunch of labels to, like, change your music. Nobody's finding you. You on SoundCloud. Get over yourself. Stop being a bitch.
Good advice, Chris. Danny, what's your advice?
Yeah, I'm with Chris on this one because I just really doubt that any real hip-hop artist is going to be asking for advice in a column. No, it's not going to happen. And I do agree that hip-hop right now sucks, you know, yeah. But no, you're not going to ask for advice. Just keep doing your thing. You'll get there if it's meant to be.
Hey, Pete, advice?
I'm going to tell a little story about a group that had some success early on in their career. And as they went on a little bit longer, the fans started dwindling, less people were buying records. And their label came to them and they said, you're going to have to do something with this next record or we're going to drop you. And then they released the album Heart. And after that, What About Love, Never Again, like all these great songs for like 5 years. They made enough money. Then they went back to doing the music they wanted to do. So do the mumble rap. Be just like Heart. You know, they were successful. All I want to do is make love to you. They did that song. That was huge.
Dope ass song right there, though.
Just mumble the shit out of a bunch of records. It doesn't even matter if you actually say anything. I can do the mumble rap. I did it. I just recorded a song. Just do like 2 or 3 albums like that and then go back and do the music you want afterwards. The fans will say you sold out somehow or another, but that'll be fine.
Yeah.
You can sell out with a lot of cash.
I think now personally, I you know, I get you. I feel that, you know, you want to be conscious. You want to get your message out, maybe trick people with it, you know, come out and go, yo, get in this WAP, get in this wet ass progressive stance on healthcare, you know, like that. I mean, trick people into it. That's the way I would do it.
Did you just say WAP and don't care in the same sentence?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We couldn't hear you.
Well, here's the thing: if to have WAP, you have to have good health care. So that's it connects.
Can you rhyme Medicare in a flow? I don't know.
Nope. Nobody said that. Yeah.
Triple the taxes on the top 1%.
Listen, nobody told you you can't mumble your way through critical race theory.
Exactly.
You could just mumble the shit out of it, and people won't understand. But you'll still be saying what you want to say.
There you go. Okay, so our next question comes from Confused Employee, and she writes, Dear TMI Daily, I'm employed by my city as a government employee in a very large office. This year, our holiday celebrations were canceled, but we were given a drive-by celebration instead, where we received gift bags. After waiting patiently in line, the gift bag was handed to my teenage daughter, who was in the passenger seat. After we pulled away and began to look through the bag, she discovered a $50 gift card to a sex shop. I'm a female employee working for the mayor. Is it me or is this extremely inappropriate to give to anyone? I went to HR about this and was basically laughed at. What do you think? Pete.
I think it's terribly inappropriate because $50 is not going to get you anything good. Yeah. You got to get at least $100.
Honestly, the same thing, Pete. I was like, I mean, $50, that's not going to get you the good toy. That's like the front of the
it's like
the store
a pocket
shit.
Rocket at best.
Yeah, that's like the front of the store shit. You don't never go to the front of the store. You got to go to the back where everybody's hiding. That's what it gets you.
But the issue with the amount of the gift card, not with the store. It was
not at all.
Yeah. See, y'all don't know where the discount rack is, man. Discount items, stuff like that. Stuff that's just not selling.
Joe,
you can work for $50.
Joe,
lightly love.
Joe, it is clear that you've never had a vagina because nobody's going to put anything discount inside of them. Okay, that's not what you want to do when you have a vagina.
Yeah. Yeah, that plastic from China just doesn't.
I just like it that so far in the last 10 minutes, Joe rapped and then said y'all back to back in two different sentences.
So, yeah. That's
good. Chances are that a lot of the stuff that came from the mayor's office is actually donated. So I'm pretty sure a lot of the gift cards were donated and they were just randomly placed in bags. And whoever was in charge just did not look at where the gift cards were coming from. Because if she got one, you would think that other employees got one too. And that would have made it on the news.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's fair.
Good point. Must have been uptight.
No, it wasn't LA. They would have been all over Garcetti.
That's like, Pete, that's why she got the gift card.
Right? One of those white women like we talked about earlier.
So our final question tonight comes from Significantly Frustrated. And she writes, "Dear TMI Daily, my boyfriend has always been terrible at giving gifts. For our 8-year anniversary, I gave him lots of hints that I wanted something special. In all the previous years, he gave me nothing. What? This year, he said he got me something meaningful, and stupidly, I got my hopes up. On our anniversary day, he gave me his, wait for it, wisdom tooth. He had to have it extracted a few weeks earlier and kept it so he could give me a, quote, part of himself. I'm upset beyond words. How do I teach an otherwise wonderful man how to give good gifts without specifying exactly what I want?" So when we read the story, I told Pete, clearly she's not Hispanic because Latinos, they love the little teeth when you're little. Like my mom one time, she's like, "Oh, I'm going to make a ring out of your tooth." I'm like, "Why? That's just weird." But it's a very like Hispanic thing, but I don't think they're Hispanic. Chris, go ahead.
It sounds like your husband don't really fuck with you. That's what it really sounds like. Because like a tooth, he's not even trying anymore. He's like he's just trying to make you hate him enough so you can be like, "I want a divorce." He'd be like, "All right, cool. I guess it's
this is a boyfriend.
Like,
this is a boyfriend.
Nobody can be that bad at gifts like by accident. There's just no way. Also, too, here's the thing: you're married to him. You've probably been with him for some few years now, so you know his gifts are bad. Just tell him what the fuck you want. I know it's not romantic, but which one is better: getting the bullshit gift or getting the gift you want and feeling good about it? I think it's going to save you a lot more stress if you just tell him, "Get me this. This is what I want." Because he might be dumb.
Well, maybe you're better off just say what you don't want. Yeah, maybe she should work for the mayor. But no, say what you don't want. And what you should probably start with is, "I really don't want your teeth as a gift."
I want to know what the otherwise wonderful things about him are. I want to see that list.
That's a great point. That is a great point.
Because he's apparently a wonderful guy in every other way.
He's obviously at least 6'3".
Joe?
Okay, first of all, Veronica's right. They're not Latinas because if he hasn't been giving gifts for 8 years, he would have lost his teeth 4 years ago when she punched him.
Great point.
I'm like, I'm thinking right now he probably needs to take her to see gorillas in Rwanda if he wants to save this thing. So, but let me tell you guys, right now, if you're bad at gift giving, let me give you a little piece of advice, all right? Go down to the fancy section of your town where they've got the fancy stores. Go in, don't buy anything there necessarily, but ask for some shopping bags. Okay? I'm talking Tiffany's or Coach or Prada or whatever, right? Then go to your 99-cent store and buy the gift that you want, right? A couple weeks before the birthday or the Christmas or whatnot. And then when you come in, you put those in the shopping bag. And then when your wife or girlfriend says, "Hey, what you got there?" He goes, no, not until your birthday. Because at least for those next 2 weeks, she's going to be super nice to you. So that's the trick, let me tell you. Because she thinks she's getting Prada or Coach or Tiffany's or whatnot. She's getting 99-cent store, but she won't know for 2 weeks.
She's getting the coach's teeth.
That's a trick. She's getting. That's right. You're going to get teeth in a Tiffany bag. Now that's different.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, just don't play that. Like
Veronica's like,
Hey, she's been with this guy for what, 8 years now?
8 years. And
she's complaining about it now. So it's like, you know what?
It's kind of on you.
It's kind of on you. That's what I think. Yeah.
Because he has a Sancha that's getting all the real gifts.
You don't just jump right to the giving somebody your teeth thing. This is a ramped up process.
Yeah.
So there was thought that went into it. You know, for the last 2 or 3 years, I really haven't given her anything good. I'm teeth this year. So it's her fault. She should have just kind of nipped it in the bud immediately early on in the relationship.
Yeah, next year she's going to finally get that rock, except it's going to be a kidney stone. But still, she's going to get that rock. She wanted.
The tooth. Yeah, it'll match the tooth. So just like Tiffany's, right? So that is our show for tonight. Thank you so much for joining us, Brandon, Dave. Thank you for sticking around.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you back here again tomorrow at 6 p.m. with our Father's Day TMI Daily special. Have a good night, everyone, and stay safe. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.